on the set, please. And here we go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Words matter, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He works with what we say. This is how you got born again. You believed in your heart. You confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Well, that wasn't the end of Him working with your words. And so that's why we don't wait till the middle of the class or the end of the class to believe that something's helping us. We kick it off with, it's working.
Amen.
I'm being fed.
Yes.
My faith's getting stronger.
Yes.
I'm learning how.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Words matter. And when you operate by faith, you're not just saying something in response to what you're seeing and experiencing. You're using your words to get what you want, to say what you want to happen and to change. This is how God operates. He doesn't just speak to let you know what's on His mind or how He feels. He speaks to create. He speaks to change things. So say it again, the Word of God.
The Word of God
is coming into me.
It's
working in me mightily.
It's
making me very strong.
Helping me to overcome.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we receive of utterance and direction and anointing and answer and grace and help. And thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking day after day in these sessions at faith for provision. And we've been giving one by one 30 reasons why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like to hear you say it again. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all.
Abundant provision
is always God's will
for me.
Now, if you haven't been experiencing abundant provision, the first thing you need to get settled is that's not the will of God. Then you want to say, Lord, show me what changes I need to make so that your will be done. You know, that's one of the things He taught us to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if God's will was already being done in everything, we wouldn't need to pray that it would be. So no, provision, abundant provision, is His will. Which day of the week?
Every
day of the week. Huh? Morning, noon, night. Which month of the year? Help me out. Every month of the year is abundant provision month. Huh? The Bible said, the psalmist said, the Lord daily loads us with benefits. Timothy said He gives us richly all things to enjoy. I know not everybody believes it, but that's also why not everybody has it. If you want something different than everybody else has got, you got to believe something different and say something different and do something different. That's why you're with us. We're doing it differently.
Yes.
Different from the world, that is. But the same way the Scripture talks about. Well, we've gone one by one through reasons to now we're down to reason number 15 in our study. And the reason 15 is provision in the wilderness. Looking and reminding ourselves of how God provided for His people in a desolate empty, barren place, and how that He did it on purpose to demonstrate that He can and will provide anywhere. He'll provide for His people in any circumstances. It doesn't matter if there's seemingly nothing there. It doesn't limit Him. It doesn't matter if you've never seen it done that way or heard of it being done that way. That doesn't limit Him. Unbelief, however, can limit Him. Not in what He can do, but in what He can do for you. In Nehemiah 9 and 19, he said, "In your manifold mercies, you didn't forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way. The pillar of fire didn't leave them by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." Nehemiah 9:20, "You gave your good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst." Now, let's remind ourselves, where did the manna come from? Not from the store.
No.
Right? Not from the field. Not from the crop. Not from a warehouse. Not from a barrel or a jar or a sack. Had anybody ever heard of such a thing?
No.
No, nobody had ever heard of such a thing, which is why we're talking about it. It's why God did it that way. He's demonstrating, I can take care of you anywhere.
Amen.
Hmm? I don't have to have the functions and resources that you're used to and that you think would have to happen. I can do it in ways nobody ever thought of.
That's right.
Hmm?
Yes.
Where did the water come from? Not from a pond, not from an oasis, not from a pipeline. Where did it come from? Deep in the earth, and the rocks had to be cracked open. And how did He get the pressure to get it up out of there? He's God. Right? He knows stuff. He can do stuff. Why are we talking about it? This is the same provider you have.
Right?
The same God who supplies all our needs. It said, "Yea, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old and their feet swelled not." He even kept their clothes and their shoes from wearing out for year after year after year. And you would think everybody would have been so thankful for that and happy and thrilled and trusting Him for the rest of the way, but they did not. They chose to take it for granted. They chose to forget about all the things He had done for them. And the next time anything came up they needed, they immediately just went to fear and unbelief and blaming Moses and blaming Aaron and challenging God. Can you do it out here? This we do not want to do. Right? Now, I don't know, in times past, we stayed for weeks on a series that we called Overcoming Unbelief, where we went through most all of these cases where they had the opportunity to believe but responded in unbelief. So go to faithschool.org if you want to get that, if you weren't with us, and it'll be well worth your time, because how can you keep yourself out of this evil unbelief if you don't even know what it is, if you don't know what it sounds like or looks like? So take advantage of that. The scripture goes into a lot of detail helping us to avoid their mistakes. And in Psalm 78, look there again. Psalm 78. When we say abundant provision is always God's will for us all, we're including this idea anywhere. Right? Can God abundantly provide for anybody?
Yes.
Anywhere?
Yes.
Hmm? That's what we're talking about. Can you have too much faith for that? No. You can't have too much faith for that. Because the enemy is continually lying to you, telling you not in these circumstances. not in this place, not with what's been going on. The enemy is continually trying to convince you, not here, not now, not for you. He's a liar.
Yes.
I said he's a liar.
Yes.
But he's very convincing. Many, many are believing his lies. And that's what we see in the psalm, in Psalm 78 and 10. 78 and 10, it was talking about them not responding correctly to these miracles of provision. It said they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. And you'll see in the other places, they refused to believe him. They refused to trust him. And like we were saying in yesterday's class, it's a choice. Always, faith is a choice. Unbelief is a choice. I choose to believe God.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them, marvelous things that he had done. Verse 13, he divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. Now you're going to see he's repeating these things that they forgot. Why? We need to remind ourselves of what God has done. It helps your faith.
Yes.
Because if you say, well, hold on now, God paid our bills here and he paid them here and he did this here and he healed us here and he healed our kids there and he did this. What does that lead you up to? Why won't he do it again, right? I mean, he brought us this far. When did he decide to quit doing it? He didn't, right? And so the opposite of that is if you stop being thankful and you act like none of it ever happened, then the opposite thing happens to you. It makes it easier to believe it's not going to happen this time. But it's a trick of the devil, trick of the enemy. It says, they had the cloud in the daytime. They had the fire at night. Verse 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. If you skip down to verse 19, after all of this, this is their response. They spoke against God. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he put food on the table out here in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he give bread too? Can he come up with some meat for his people? This is not okay. This is not okay. And what you'll see is this unbelieving, unpersuadable heart refuses to be convinced, refuses to trust and believe no matter how many things God might do. This is something people have not understood very well. If you are with us, and if you go back and look at that study on overcoming unbelief, they saw 10 signs and wonders nobody had ever seen or heard of before they left Egypt. 10. They would have never left Egypt without them. It's what God used to shake the mightiest empire on the earth to its knees. And to the point where they refused, and he got them to the point where they're asking them to leave. Please leave. And giving them money. Go. And that wasn't the end. Everybody say 10 signs and wonders.
10 signs and wonders.
10. Not one. One sign and wonder is big stuff.
Yes.
Right? God doing things nobody has ever heard of, ever seen before. No, 10 of them. That wasn't the end. On the way out, he split the Red Sea. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody ever heard of that. Seen that before. And thing after thing after thing, they have seen, at this point, they have seen multiple providings of water. And then there's the manna, and then there's the other. I mean, after this is the birds and the meat. But it was never enough. At one point, after this, the Lord says, how long will it be before these people believe me? And see, that's why he keeps bringing it up. Skip down to verse 22. Because they believed not in God. They trusted not in His salvation. Tell me what that is. Is that a choice?
Yes, it is.
Huh?
Yes.
Did they have to respond this way?
No.
Could they have chosen after everything they've seen and heard? Could they have chosen to say, hey, God did this. Why can't He do this? But they did it the other way. They turned it around. They said, well, yeah, He did that. But can He do this? See, unbelief and unpersuadableness says, can God? But faith in a persuaded heart says, God can.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes, He can.
Yes.
Yes, He can. But you have to say it before you see it. Or there's no faith involved. You have to say it before you could even understand how it could be. I don't have to understand how God's going to do it. If He said we're going to have fresh meat before the day's over, then just hide and watch, because it's coming. Yeah, but how in the world? Watch and see. Right? Like the psalmist said in Psalm 27, I believed to see. Not see and then I'm going to believe. Doubtful you'll believe after you see if you wouldn't believe before. No, seeing is not believing. He said, they believed not in God. They trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat or food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind, and rained flesh upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations, so that it eat and were well filled. He gave them their own desire. Is God telling us and them, they had every reason to believe after all they had seen? Why am I talking about it? Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Do you believe in the account of the manna and the water? Well, that should mean something to you and I personally every time we need to pay a bill.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Are we going to be like these unbelievers and unpersuadables and say, I just don't know if it could happen here. I just don't know. God, You got to show me something. No, no. God gave manna. He gave the water. He brought the quail. And you need to say, and my bills will be paid.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
I call every bill paid. I call every need met. I call every obligation fulfilled. Even if you couldn't see, even if there were some negative things going on and you couldn't see how you and your family are going to have full provision, faith decides before it sees that God is good and God is real and God is trustworthy. And I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you start saying things like, don't worry, kids, don't worry. Don't worry, husband. Don't worry, wife. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. You watch and see. God will take care of us. He's always taking care of us. He always will. We will eat. And we will eat well. We will have plenty to wear. good place to live. And, huh? Can you see this? Even though this is so simple, this is strong faith when it doesn't look like it, when it doesn't feel like it. This is strong faith, and it pleases your Father. When He hears you talk like that, and He sees that you genuinely trust Him, when you don't have a clue where it could come from, it puts a smile on His face. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It pleases God. Faith pleases Him. He said, verse 32, for all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore their days did consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Verse 40, how often did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? What was grieving Him? Well, you got to remember verse 19 and 20. They spoke against God. They said, can God furnish a table out here? Can He provide bread? Can He provide flesh for His people? Challenging Him. Basically saying, prove it. Show us. Can He do it? After everything He had done for them, no thankfulness and no trust and no faith. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted or tested God. That's what they're doing when they say, can you do it? Prove it. Can you do it? Testing Him. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Everybody say limited, limited. That word limited, if you look at the root word, it means a mark. A mark. And you can see that's what they're doing. They say, well, yeah, God did that. But can He do this? Yeah, y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
A limit. Well, it never happening before does not limit God.
That's right.
There being no natural resources you could imagine to pull it together does not limit God. But you questioning Him and doubting Him does limit Him. Limit Him as far as you're concerned. You know, Jesus talked about this. He said, let him that has ears take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you. How you measure it. See, all of us have different levels of faith and different levels of vision. And we're all at different places. And what I mean by that is if your faith is here, then it might seem easy for God to do this for you. But this thing up here, you never believed for that before, and that's another thing. And you're going to have to stir yourself up and go, okay, but where's your mark? Where's your limit? Whether you say it or not, whether you think, oh, I don't know. Can that happen? Can that happen? Well, you got to watch. That ain't too far from saying, can God?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Can God do it? And in order to have the fullness of what He wants for us, we got to get rid of the limit.
Right.
Come on, y'all with me. We got to get rid of the limits and the marks and the thinking about the company and the environment and the political environment and the year and the economy and the 10,000 other reasons that could limit. And we need to say, huh, with our God, nothing is limited. Nothing is impossible or too hard or too difficult or too big. And if you can get rid of the limit in your own head, then there's no limit to what God could do for you. Do you believe this, class? Hmm? And He delights in doing things where people didn't think it could be done. He delights in things like that. doing things for people that other folks thought, well, now who are they? How come that happened for them? Because they took off the limit. They took off the mark. They said, and instead of arguing and saying, can God, they said, God can. God can do it here. He can do it this year. Yes. He can do it at my house. Yes. He can do it in my closet. Yes. He can do it in my driveway.
Yes.
He can do it. Yes. He can do it for me, my spouse, yes. my kids, yes. my family, yes. our business. He can. Yes. He can. He can do it. He can do it here. He can do it this year.
Yes.
He can do it.
Yes.
He can do it.
Yes.
Take off the mark. Take off the limit. I want to hear you say it. I have faith,
I have faith
in my great God.
In my great God.
With Him,
nothing is impossible.
With Him,
nothing
is too big
or too hard.
I have faith
that my God
shall supply
all my needs.
According to His riches,
in glory,
by Christ Jesus. No limits.
No limits.
No limits. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time's already up again. Say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I'm strong in faith. Giving glory to God. We'll see you again next time here in Faith School.
We're clear.
Is that five?
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, thank you.
No limit.
No more marks. No more.
Yep.